forward in faith. It's next. Never has the world been more confused and the scriptures been more exciting than today. Forward in Faith invites you to listen to the international voice of the Church of God, Pastor Loran Livingston, as he ministers to his vast congregation of the Central Church of God in Charlotte, North Carolina. Stay with us now as Loran gives answers from God's Word to guide you forward in faith. And now, here's Loran Livingston.
In Philippians chapter 3, let's read till I ask you to stop. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Stop. You understand what he's saying there. He said, I have to constantly remind you and warn you. I don't get tired of it because I'm taking care of you. And anybody who's taking care of someone else knows that things have to be repeated. Verse 2. Beware of dogs. Hold it. You've got to read this in context. He is not talking about German shepherds and Doberman pinschers and dachshunds. And he's talking about, see, that was a slam. You could not insult anyone any worse in the Middle East in that day than to call them a dog. And Paul did it. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. What is that? He called these people going around saying, we believe in Jesus, but we still have to keep the law. We believe he's the Son of God, but we still have to do all of the things the law requires. He called them dogs. He called them evil workers. And he said, beware of the mutilation. That means beware of the circumcision. Beware of people making you do physical things to guarantee your salvation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. What he's saying is, if anybody as a Jew could brag, I can brag. Why? Here's what he did. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Heavenly Father, open our understanding today in Jesus' name. Amen. Just days ago, I spoke to a gathering, and when it was over, a Hispanic family came up to me and started a question, a conversation, with tears streaming. Now, before I tell you about that conversation, it caused me to flash back to something that happened almost 18 years ago. I had spoken in Denver, Colorado, on the grace of God. When it was over, a woman came up to me who looked very tired and sick. I'm talking dark circles under her eyes, just a weariness, kind of a glassy, glazed-over look in her eyes. And she said, Loran, do you remember me? And I said, I am so sorry. I do not remember you. She said, you should. We kind of grew up together. In fact, we grew up together at the church campground, summer after summer. She said, "I'm so-and-so." And I said, "Oh, my. Well, it's nice to see you again." And what I wanted to ask was, "Why do you look so bad?" But she told me. She said, "I'm here because I have relatives in this city. And I'm in the condition I'm in because I've had two nervous breakdowns." And I said, "Whatever in the world happened?" She said, "When I tell you, you won't believe me. But if I had heard this message that you preached tonight on the grace of God when I was young, I would not be in the condition I'm in today." And she said, "I grew up the same way you did, in the same church you did. And I've spent most of my life trying to figure out how to get to heaven. How much work must I do? When will I ever get it right? There's so much sin in my life." And she said, "I literally had two nervous breakdowns trying to figure out how to please God." Now, that's the conversation we had. That brought me back to the conversation I had just a few days ago with this Hispanic family. As they stood in front of me among the pews, the lady said, "How much is enough?" I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "How much do you do before God accepts you? How much work is involved in getting your life right? What does God expect? Because I found out it's never enough. No matter what you do, it's never enough." I said, "Let me just put it to you this way. If you had lived your entire life never having had one bad thought, or having said one bad word, or ever having done one bad thing, and if you lived 100 years, you would still come short." She said, "Then what do we do?" I said, "That's the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. You don't work your way to heaven. You can't do enough to get to heaven. There aren't enough laws that you can keep to get you to heaven. The only way to be accepted by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is to trust only in Jesus Christ, His Son, period. Nothing else. Faith only in Jesus." And they just looked at me, and she began to weep and said, "Is this true?" I said, "Of course it's true. I wouldn't stand here and tell you a lie." She said, "But we were brought up in this church. And this church has rules and regulations. And people monitor each other. And they watch your children. They've watched my teenagers. My teenagers have fallen into sin. And they talk about that. We grew up in a church where it was never enough," she said. And I said, "That's religion. Because at first God reveals Himself to someone. And then that someone has an experience with God. And then that person begins to think that their experience should be everybody's experience. And then several of those people get together and decide that their experience should be everybody else's experience. And then they say, well, if God is this way, then we need to make a rule that we need to live this way. And so we make this rule, and then make another rule, and another rule, and another rule, and another rule. So nothing has changed since Jesus Christ was on this earth. He came to a people who had made up so many rules that it was impossible to keep them. And these religious leaders said to the people under them, We know God. We keep the law. We're going to heaven. This is what you need to do. And almost 700 extra rules tacked on to the rules that Moses gave became nothing but a heavy burden. People woke up every day saying, I can't do this. Before they get out of bed, they think, I can't do this. How am I going to please God today? So Jesus came into the world to tell people, you're exactly right. You can't do it. So since you can't do it, I'll do it for you. That's the good news, ladies and gentlemen. So you don't have to have a nervous breakdown. And you don't have to have lists of rules. And you don't have to abide by regulations. Because those things can't save you. Only one. And I know some of you think this is very elementary this morning. But you would be amazed how many people who've been coming here for decades still don't get it. And you'd be amazed how many people will sit in church pews today in so-called evangelical churches who still believe they've got to live a perfect life and still live under the bondage of it. And will even give a testimony. I've lived good for God. I've been faithful to God. I haven't done this and I haven't done that for years now. And once you start glorying in and appreciating what you have done for God or what you haven't done against God, you move into the pride of your own ability. I have come here again to tell you, I am on a mission. As a preacher who has gloriously seen that what he did on the cross was totally sufficient. And he died for my sins. All of my sins. And he died for the sins of the whole world. And when he said, come to me, all you who labor. That means you're working at it and you still can't get there. Every day you wake up and you think, I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I can't keep the law. I haven't paid enough money. I haven't prayed enough. Come to me, he said, if you can't take it anymore. If your back is breaking with the burdens of rules and regulations of religion. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll take the burden off of you because I put it on myself. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't understand how we can sit and be solemn at times when we realize what Jesus Christ did for us, what God Almighty allowed His Son to do so that we could stand accepted before God. He has declared us to be holy and perfect and complete. There's not another thing you lack. You don't have to climb a mountain. You don't have to create. You don't have to build. You don't have to give. You don't have to do anything except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I quoted a scripture the other day, and of course someone came back. I quoted out of Hebrews. He has become the author of eternal salvation unto all those that obey Him. And someone said, well, there you go, right there. You got to obey. There it is. You can't be saved unless you obey. Okay? How often do you obey? Do you always obey? I'm thankful that word wasn't included in there. He's the author of eternal salvation to all those who always obey Him. Because if always were there, I'm already out of here. And every one of you is in the same condition today. Don't dare look at me like you've been always been obedient. Why, before this day is over, you will have disobeyed God in some way or another. So what does he mean by obey, Loran? He means obey the gospel. Obey the call. That means believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And that is the final line, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. If you're still wrestling with this kind of thing, you have to ask yourself something. How much do I have to do to be right with God? How good do I have to be? Do I have to be good all the time? Oh, I hope not. Because you're not. How much prayer? How many hours? How many times a day must I pray? Muhammad makes his people pray 5 times a day. You see, the fact of the matter is, you're never told how many times to pray. And prayer was never given to you as a task to be completed. Prayer was given to you as the privilege of relating to Almighty God. So don't ever ask how much should I pray or how much must I pray, because there's no answer to that. You say, I don't understand the Bible. So what? I don't understand the Bible. There are many things in the Bible I don't understand. I don't understand the violence of God in the Old Testament. He's a bloody God in the Old Testament. And I don't mean that in the English kind of way. God had people kill people in the Old Testament. Children, even animals that didn't do anything, God had people kill these people. It doesn't make sense to my American mind. I can't explain it to anybody. And one of the great tools of attack that the world uses against us is that our God is a bloody God. They'll ask, what's the difference between you and the Taliban? You and the militant terrorist? Your God had people kill people? I can't answer that question. I'm not even going to try to answer that question. God is who He is. He does what He says He will do. The only thing I know about God today is that He loved me enough to die Himself for me. He didn't have somebody else die. He Himself died for me. That's what I know about God. So when you try to figure out, what is God requiring of me? You'll never answer the question. Because if you're looking at things to do, forget it. To see God face to face, to be totally accepted, to be declared holy and righteous and just and pure, the Bible says you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. And as many times as I've preached and taught this, it must be repeated over and over again. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write or preach the same things to you is not tedious. But for you it is safe. Because there's a tendency. If you don't live in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's this tendency to keep falling back and saying, was I good enough today? Did I do enough today? And the moment you get there, you start moving away from faith in God to faith in yourself and in your ability. Just for the sake of gospel preaching, let me tell you one more time, in case there's someone who's never heard this. The entire Old Testament is about God calling out a special people. By the way, He is not through with those people. God still has a plan for the wonderful nation of Israel. He has not rejected them. He has not forsaken them. Romans 8, 9, 10, 11 will tell you right now, God has a plan for Israel. He loves His people. But the entire gist of the Old Testament is that God picked out a people and said, I'm going to use them as an example to the whole world. I'm going to give them my laws, my requirements, my covenants, my blessings. I'm going to show the world what will happen if they obey me. But Israel did not obey, because it is impossible to totally obey God in a human body. So, to culminate the teachings of the Old Testament. The Bible says when the fullness or the completeness or the ripeness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son to redeem them who were under the law, to save people who couldn't save themselves, people who had laws they could not keep and lived in condemnation. So Jesus came to this world and lived every requirement of God, totally, completely, without exception or error, and then allowed wicked humanity to nail Him to a cross because they could not take His goodness. They didn't like His teachings. He came against their religion. He came against their efforts. And He said, all of that means nothing. Just exactly what the Apostle Paul said. Whatever you think you've accomplished, it's dog dung. Whatever you think you've done for God, it's rubbish. It means nothing. You can't get to heaven by doing anything. Jesus and Paul, the whole New Testament, is about saying, the only way I can please God is to believe on His Son, Jesus Christ. And then when I do, I love this. When I do, He gives to me a free gift called righteousness. I am then declared righteous and acceptable to God. I am declared pure. I am declared holy. I am pronounced obedient. I now have the Spirit of the living God abiding in me. I become a child of the living God by faith in the Spirit. So by believing in Christ, I become who Christ is. And I have constant access to the throne of grace. And I don't have to hold rosary in my hand and pray 13 times. And I don't have to kneel on a rug 5 times a day and bow. And I don't have to get before a little round Hindu Buddhist object and mumble and chant. I don't have to stand even in a church building. I can just wake up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I am free. 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 You're free to be happy. You're free to live. You're free to die. You're free from the laws and the requirements of man. Because of Jesus Christ, you are alive forevermore. Thanks be to God. But here's the problem. You always have those people going around telling you it's not that easy. You're going to have to do some things. I grew up in that. Now, some people think I'm bitter because I bring it up often. I am. I resent it greatly. I get mad at times because I was cheated. Cheated out of a God who loved me. Separated from a Jesus who cared about me. Stuck in a little dark corner somewhere, trying to get right with God and do everything perfectly. Being told that I could spend my entire life saved just to come to the threshold of the eternity and backslide and die and go to hell. I remember all of the stories. Oh, God, they had them. Scary stories that would make a 12-year-old squirm and a 14-year-old shake. Just they had the best stories of fear because they wanted you to run to the altar as though when you got up and the mood wore off, you wouldn't do the same thing again. Oh, I remember one story told about a captain who was out at sea, a noble man, And on his way home, after 2 years at sea, he had a little cottage there in the bay, and his wife, every night, would put out a lantern so that her hubby could see it as he was coming into the bay to be home after 2 years of separation. And just within sight of his cottage, a storm arose and ripped the boat apart. And the man went down, looking at the lights in his cottage. And the story was, that's what can happen to you, sonny boy. You little moron. You little lustful teenager. You beer-drinking, lying, stealing, cheating, fighting, having fun kind of guy. You youngster who ought to know better. You can get almost to the door and see the lights of home, only to be swept under by the waves of eternity, and you'll spend your whole existence roasting on the cinder beds of hell, knowing you came that close, but it was that second look at that fine chick, and it was that cold Pabst Blue Ribbon that you thought you'd just taste one more time. And a whole life of singing and preaching and praying down the tubes because you were too weak to make it. Oh, those stories go on by the thousands, and they've kept people in bondage for decades. And they've made people go to church just to keep their duty. And they've caused people to teach their children unscriptural things. Someone was telling us the other day at breakfast or dinner, I don't remember which meal it was, that they grew up in the same atmosphere, and they used to be told by their grandma, well, don't do bad things. If you do bad things, Jesus won't love you now. Jesus won't love you. So there's a whole generation of us grew up, thinking, Jesus is not going to love me if I do this. And I did it. And I liked it. Does Jesus love me? Folks, I'm talking about bondage. You're laughing. But it's mental bondage. It's emotional bondage. It's physical bondage. It's terrible, terrible, terrible. Because what he did on the cross was not just a sidebar, an afterthought. It was not God saying, well, what can I do? These people can't live right. What can I do? The Bible says before there was anything made, Jesus was already the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the earth. And if he was willing to do that, then I want you to hear me this morning. His salvation is greater than your human weakness. His grace is greater than your sin.
You may receive an audio CD of the message you've just heard for a $5 contribution. In requesting CDs, please give the date on which you heard the broadcast. Write to Forward in Faith, P.O. Box 2430, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Or you may order through our toll-free number, 1-800-251-4024. Again, that number is 1-800-251-4024. Forward in Faith is a listener-supported broadcast. Please send your contributions to Forward in Faith, P.O. Box 2430, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320.